Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
I'd like to talk to you today about the devil's trap. The devil's tricks are devil's trap. You know, I was thinking about, since we're in the midst of this pandemic and a lot of people are staying at home more, I found out from a statistic that there's actually more divorces going on now. People are not getting along with each other now that they're stuck with each other under the same roof. So I'm wondering how many of you are actually working on a better relationship with your spouse, or if you're not married, working on a better relationship with your friends and your neighbors. I believe when you work on it, you get better. Like anything that you might do, your hobby. I play golf, and guess what? The more I practice, the better I get. And it keeps me with a better attitude when I do go out to play golf. I expect to make mistakes, just like you expect to make mistakes in your relationships. But here's what I want you to know. Don't fall for the devil's trap. You know, if you heard the doorbell ring, hold on just a second. If you heard the doorbell ring and you said, "Who's there?" And the voice came back, "Bitterness." Would you go to the door? I don't think so. Or if the doorbell rang and you said, "Who's there?" And the answer came back, "The devil, I've got a package for you." Would you go to the door? No, of course not. But yet, we do answer the doorbell because we don't know it's the devil. We think it's our wife. We think it's our husband. We think it's other people. We think it's the preacher, whoever. We blame it on somebody, but don't go to the door. That's my advice today. If you don't get anything out of this, more than that. Oh, here we go. I got to swipe this a little bit here. I forgot which way it went, Mr. Producer. Okay, so let's go to that next slide there. Finally, all of you, finally, at the beginning of a sermon, maybe we shouldn't be saying finally. Just forget that part and say all of you. Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind. Don't repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but instead bless that you might obtain a blessing. There you go. You want to have peace in your home? You want to keep strife out of your home? Offense out of your home? Hurt feelings out of... Just do this all day long and you'll be fine. But this will not happen in your home, for instance, unless you start off saying, "That's what we're going to do. Whatever happens today, we're going to have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and humble mind." It works every time. But you have to be committed to it, and you have to have agreement for it to happen. Okay, let's talk about offended. Dolly Parton said, "I'm not offended by all the dumb blonde jokes because I know I'm not dumb, and I also know I'm not blonde." So, no, she's not offended. So, don't... Okay, that's enough. So don't you be offended either. Whatever happens, why not just tell yourself, "I will not be offended. Nothing is going to get my goat today." It makes a difference when you say that to yourself, and if you're able to, just say it right out loud. I remember we were having an outdoor concert over at Rockwood years ago, and an outdoor concert can be a big job and tough to pull off and still have your sanity. So we had this band come in, and they were going to be playing gospel music, and we're all sitting outside on the side of the hill. And I knew that morning that a lot of things could go wrong with that concert. So I started the day off with this: "Lord, today nothing is going to get my goat." That was my whole prayer. It was a prayer declaration for how I was going to respond to every negative situation that came along. Guess what happened? Sure enough, a lot of things did go wrong. But because I had said nothing is going to get my goat, nothing did. And I kept my peace and I kept my joy. And whatever happened, I just said, oh, well, let's take it from here. All right, this didn't go right. Why don't we do this? And it turned out beautiful. So here's some questions for you. What offends you? What hurts your feelings? Do people get on your nerve? What gets your goat? What irritates you? Or what do you complain about? The truth is, you can have strife or peace. You can't have both. If peace, then be determined to get it to get a hold on it at all cost. Hold on to it. Grab it. Don't let it go. Don't let anybody else take it from you. Peace is very valuable. It'll keep you together in tough times. So I looked up the word in the Greek for offense. The Bible talks about people being offended at Jesus, even his own family. That word, offense, in the Greek is skandalon, which was bait used to catch an animal or a person. So that's what the devil wants to do to us. He's got bait out there. He's got a trap set for us. Here's what I want to say. Don't take it. Don't step in it. I've seen the mouse traps, and I've seen a mouse come right up to the trap and look at that cheese, and he walks around and looks at it, kind of puts his foot real lightly on it, finds a way to pull the cheese off without setting the trap off, and he takes off with the cheese. Well, that's the way we need to be and recognize when it's the devil's trap. Matthew 13 says, they took offense at him, but he said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, there's the key right there. Offense. And he couldn't do many mighty works there. Did you know God cannot do many mighty works in your life if you go around offended, critical, self-centered? He can't do it. He would like to do it. But just like Jesus would like to have done miracles in his own hometown, but he couldn't because they were offended. Somebody might say, well, I would never be offended at Jesus, except when he tells me to do something I don't want to do. So, lessons I've learned. Arguments are worthless. Have you ever won an argument, but you still slept on the couch? Pride doesn't have a pretty face. I've learned to be patient. You might say, oh, well, you're just kind of laid back anyway, Pastor. I'm sure that's not your problem. No, that's a big problem with me. Even when I go through the car wash, I'm looking for the passing lane. Yeah, I've got to learn that lesson, and I've got to pass that test. And I've had many tests on that. Sometimes I passed it, and sometimes I failed it. And it's a work in progress. And the other one is, don't insist on your own way. Yeah. I told my elders at your church one time years ago, I said, you know what? I want to hear your ideas, even if it contradicts my own ideas, because I like a good idea even when it's not my own. So I'm not going to insist on my own way. So pass the test. That's what I'm saying. Pass the test. Have you passed the worry test, the stress, the strife, the offended, the grouchy, the critical? It can become a habit that needs minimal provocation. I remember one day I got up and for some reason I was grouchy that morning. And there was no reason for it. But yet I just noticed I was grouchy and my family was kind of avoiding me and like, what is your problem? And I realized I was being grouchy, and then I asked myself, I said, Steve, do you like to be around a grouchy person? And I said, no, that's horrible. And I said, then change. So right then, I changed. I put on a smile. I started saying pleasant things, started bragging on others, whatever it took to get me out of being grouchy. You can do it, but it takes some effort. Strife robs you. Offense leads to strife. Strife robs you of freedom, peace, and power. Now tell me, what do you want? Do you want to hang on to strife? You know when it's there. When it's there, you can cut it like a knife. There's a lot of tension with strife. But think of it as being a thief that is going to rob you of freedom, peace, and power. So, go back to that the picture of the raccoon being caught in the trap. Pride is a trap. Have you ever acted pridefully with you at the center? It makes me realize I have failed many tests because of pride. If I had displayed humility instead of pride, I could have avoided many embarrassingly ugly situations in my life. How about you? I think you can concur with that. Well, how about this? Look at the book of Job at the very beginning. The devil said, hey, God, look, Job down here, he's a righteous man. Everything's going his way. No wonder he praises you. But if you'd turn him over to me just for 5 minutes, he didn't say 5 minutes. I'm just kind of making the story. If you'd turn him over to me, he won't praise you. He might actually curse you if things don't go right. But God said, give it your best shot. I can trust Job. So, here's what I want to say. If there's a test in your life, that means God's trusting you. The devil might say, I'll get him. And God said, no, you won't. I trust Steve. Yeah, I trust him. He's going to praise me because even if things are not going his way, I'm still God and he's still my child. He's just having a moment right now. But he'll get over it and he'll come back and he'll praise me, just like Job did. Important question. How do you handle people who rub you the wrong way, hurt your feelings, or offend you? Have you ever said, oh, that just ruins my day? And then you said, there goes the rest of the day. Have you said that? I think you have, because I've said that before and I'm ashamed to say that. But do you want vindication or do you want reconciliation? Make reconciliation your goal, your project, your priority, and things will go different the rest of the day. What's wrong with just saying, hey, I'm sorry for being grouchy. I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm not blaming this on anybody. I'm not making any excuse. I'm just saying, I want reconciliation. Let's kiss and make up. So, how to win? Don't dwell on how to win the argument, but how you can avoid the argument. I think very few people ever say that in the midst of an argument or the feel an argument starting. But that's my advice. Start thinking about, how can I get out of this? One way you can get out of it is say, you're right, honey. There you go. A lot of peace comes after you say, you're right, honey. That's something I better think about. I think you're right. So your job is reconciliation. If you're right all the time, you don't have many friends. So this will happen. When people are rude, when they get on your nerves, when you're disrespected, when you are falsely accused, when your feelings are hurt, there's going to be strife. Strife is no fun at all. Here's the question. It's a very simple one. Will you represent Jesus or not? Will you represent Jesus or not? Don't worry about people respecting you. Are you respecting Christ? Are you honoring him, keeping him on the front burners of your thinking and your lips. Why? Because we're respecting Christ. We're giving Him first place. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Are we seeking Him first, which means seeking His solutions, seeking His Spirit, seeking His actions? What would Jesus do? Nehemiah's task was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He took it on himself. He saw that they were burned, they were in ruins, they were crumbled, and he said, "I'm going to rebuild." And he felt led by God to do this, by the way. It's just not, he didn't just decide this. He said, "God is leading me to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." Well, his arch enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah, laughed and taunted Nehemiah, but it didn't bother him. Why? Because he was determined. He was determined to honor the word that he got about rebuilding. And whenever they made fun of him and said, "What are you doing, Nehemiah? That's impossible. You'll never be able to accomplish that. Nobody's going to follow you and nobody's going to help you." Here was Nehemiah's answer. "Oh yes, I will be successful because God's gracious hand is upon me." There we go. I just said it. All right, let's skip over to the next one. So, stay on your mission. If you have a button, somebody's going to push it. The devil will make sure of it. Say, "Well, if the devil tries to push my button, well, I'll tell him where to go." Wait a minute. He's not going to push it directly. He's going to use other people to push it, and usually people close to you. But don't be thrown off of your mission, which is to represent Christ. So stay humble. Humility keeps God moving in your life. Pride says, "I'll handle it myself," and then God says, "You're going to handle it yourself? Okay, well, you go ahead, but I'm not getting involved with that. I can't bless you whenever you're handling things yourself, getting into strife, doing things your way." Humility keeps God moving in your life. So I say humility is underrated. If you were completely humble, would you ever have strife in your life? Malice, envy, unhealthy comparisons, hurts, offenses? I don't think so. So just make that a commitment. When you get up in the morning, have these scriptures ready. Like Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Lord, today you can count on me. I'm respecting you and I'm respecting that command to be kind to one another, forgiving one another. That's what I'm going to do because the kingdom is a priority. Peace is a priority. So clothe yourselves with humility, 1 Peter says, toward one another, for God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. There you go. I hope that helps somebody. It helps me. Oftentimes preachers are preaching to themselves. So hope that helps you. Let's end with a prayer declaration. And if you'd like, you can see it there on the screen. And if you'd like to pray that together with me, I invite you to do so. I am Christ's representative on earth. To my family, my church, my neighborhood, I am humble, kind, patient, forgiving, and passing every test. I am spirit-filled and strife-free, and continually blessed because of this. Amen. All right, well, I hope you prayed that prayer, and it will make a difference in your life. And don't just pray it once in your life. That's a good daily prayer. And put Ephesians 4:32 on there with it, and say, "That's what I'm going to do." All right, well, God bless y'all for joining us today. I hope this helped you, and We'll be on Facebook and we'll be on YouTube with other services next Sunday is the next one. And also, Pastor Doug has his devotionals on every morning. So check that out too. And if you catch him later, they are recorded. So God bless you. Thanks for tuning in and we'll see you next time.